Bibles, Luke chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke chapter 11. Title of the message this morning, Teach Us to Pray. They ask Jesus in this passage that he would teach them to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples, and then Jesus gives us just this model prayer. Now I want you to know, we'll look at this, the intent is not that we go around quoting this prayer. I think it's good to memorize. I haven't memorized, right? And this is a little different. I think this was another time that he did this. You know, the famous ones in Matthew 6, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and we could quote it all. But that's not the intent. It's really to understand what does Jesus say should be the elements of our prayer and how we pray. Let's read this. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And it's just a fantastic passage. Teach us to pray. And this is how Jesus responded. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, when he ended his prayer, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he, Jesus, said unto them, when you pray, say, and what he said in Matthew, he said, like manner. So he's not looking. We're going to look at a passage here in Matthew where he said vain repetition is not what God's interested in. He's not interested in you just repeating words. He's interested in you talking to him and you just enjoying him, just like, you know, the reason we enjoy people, and I know, man, they can get on your nerves too, right? Especially I can get on your nerves. But it's, we enjoy people. To not have people is emptiness. Loneliness is one of the greatest tools the devil uses, and I think it's bigger today than I've ever seen in my lifetime. We're more connected, but more disconnected. You have more social connections on a tablet, on a computer, on a phone, but fewer face-to-face people connections. You know, I mean, it's famous. People call it fake book, right? And so you can project anything you want. But life really happens eyeball to eyeball, elbow to elbow. And the Lord wants that kind of relationship with us where we just talk to him. So Luke chapter 11, verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he continues. He said unto them, and he's going to give them an example of prayer. And this is to help us understand God. And so this is why 5 through 13 is just chocked full of good stuff. Verse 5, and Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me and have nothing to set before him. This is at midnight. I won't even answer. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Because he said, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Leave. It's basically saying, what are you doing at my house at midnight? Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his insistence, because of his obnoxiousness, because of his importunity, because the guy keeps, come on now, you got those friends? He will rise and give him as many as he needed just to get rid of him. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, because we all are, sinners. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we'll talk about that verse as well today. Title of the message again, just teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I want to these are my 3 points. I wouldn't take notes on these for those that have taken notes because I'm going to have a lot of other things underneath them. But these are the 3 thoughts this morning. This is what I think when we think about prayer. This is what prayer is all about. Prayer should be all about focus on God, dependence on God, and trust in God. And we'll look at all the details of this, but I think these are the elements of prayer. And really, when you see it, it's all about God. Prayer is not about us. God loves hearing from us. God loves just talking to us, right? I mean, there's nothing like it. Nothing like, you know, I'm not going to tell you a grandkid story, but they are just, grandkids are awesome. I love hearing from them, right? I mean, Elia will call me and it's good, right? It's good. I think I told you recently, right? The last time she called me, she goes, I'm done talking. And I'm like, she's not yet 4. I'm like, you're not done talking. And she just can't wait to, you know, so she starts blowing kisses. And I'm like, I'm not blowing a kiss. And so it's just God wants to hear from us. Prayer, focus on God, dependence on God, and trust in God. I think I put this on my screen. Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you this. This Jesus gives, before he does it, he talks about the elements of prayer and that are very similar to Luke. He gives these instructions for us about prayer. And I want you to see 4 things. I want you to see 4 things. He says, and when thou prayest, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Who wants to be a hypocrite? Nobody does, right? For they, the hypocrites, love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets that they may be seen. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So the first thing is, prayer is not a show. Prayer is primarily intended to be a private thing. Now, all the men I meet with for Bible studies, they know this. I say, I need you to pray. And, you know, a lot of them, it's just they're just not comfortable doing it yet. But I tell them, I want you to learn how to be a public man of God. But I will tell you this, the primary way that you're a man of God is in private. But there's a public part of ministry, but prayer is not a show. Prayer is just, and when you pray publicly, we want to lead people in prayer publicly. Get alone with God and forget anybody's there. It's not, these hypocrites, they want everybody to look, oh, look how spiritual that guy is. That's not the point of prayer. They have their reward, they get the praise of men. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer is really primarily intended to be a private thing. You and the Lord. You and the Lord. And so that's what prayer is. But verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And so it's not to repeat this prayer. It's a conversation. Those same neighbors have met with us again, right, after Ellie got over the concussion. I don't think she had a concussion. We didn't. Concussions weren't that talked about 20 years ago. I'm so thankful. So we've had them over for dinner. They've had us over for dinner. And so when we have somebody over for dinner, we're going to pray over the food. And when they had us over for dinner, I'll say, well, Ron, you know, you're home. We'd be honored to have you pray over the food. Ron gets up, goes to the little cabinet they had there, opens the drawer, and what's he do? Pulls out a book, and he read a prayer. And you know, I'm not making fun of him. That's just, he's missing it, isn't he? It is, he's missing just talking to God. God just wants to hear from us. He is not interested in vain repetitions. He's not interested in you repeating a prayer that somebody else wrote, that you heard. He just wants to hear from you. He just wants to talk to you. And then it says this in verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I love that last one. You know, it's just remember this. God already knows what you need. We're not here to remind him what the problems are, but he wants to hear from us what the problems are. But we're not informing him of anything. He already knows. Be encouraged by that. I know sometimes we're like, Lord, did you notice this? Yes, I did. He just wants to hear from us. Those are just a few things that I want you to see. Now we'll talk about this. The three thoughts I have is the focus on God. I want you to see this. Look at verse 2. Focus on God, His name, His glory, and His will. Look at verse 2. When you pray, say, Our Father. Let's just pause there. Our Father. I want you to understand this. Prayer is intended for the children of God. For people that have truly been born into the family of God. And I remind everybody, many will know this, everyone is not a child of God. You must be born again. That is only by faith in Christ. That is turning from all, turning from your sin, and turning in faith to Christ, and you're given spiritual life. The Bible teaches that when you come to the knowledge of sin, you will spiritually be dead. You will spiritually die. Understand this. It is, you must be given new life. You've heard that term. New life in Christ because you're dead in trespasses and sins. You need new life that can only come in Christ. And then you become part of the family of God. You are born into the family of God. And it only comes by faith in Christ. And then He becomes your Father. You know what the Bible says, John 8:44. If you aren't a child of God, if you're not born again, if you haven't truly turned to Christ in faith, believing on His work, that He died for you, He took the punishment of your sins, then your spiritual father is the devil. That's offensive to people. I'm not trying to be offensive, but it's true. You must be born again. I think I used to say this years ago. God will hear the prayers of a lost person. I think I can prove that in Scripture. You do not have the same access that His children do. You understand that? So if you are lost this morning, the Bible uses that term. If you know that you've never truly surrendered, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I use those terms interchangeably. Believe is used interchangeably with surrender. If you've never truly committed your life, those words are used interchangeably. This is not just some kind of head knowledge that says, got the ticket out of hell, this bud's for you. That's what the world thinks. I can have Jesus and do whatever I want and be just like the world. I just need the ticket out of hell. If that's your spirit, I'd be concerned for you. But if you've truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. He will save you, right? And so He becomes your Father. And then you want to please your Father. Like I was saying, He'll hear a lost person. If you're lost this morning, ask God to help you understand the Bible. Ask God to help you know the truth of the Bible. Ask God to reveal Himself to you. I believe He'll hear that prayer. I don't think there's any way God wouldn't hear that prayer. You just ask God. I'm not asking you to believe anything you don't believe. Because if you believe in something you don't believe, you know what that means? You didn't believe it. Duh. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, I'm a genius. It is, understand that our Father, who are you praying to, O Christian? It's the Father through the Son. I'm not saying it's wrong if you talk to Jesus. I'm just telling you this. I'm going to the Father, and it's because of the Son, and you can talk to Jesus as well. Jesus is God. He's God's Son. And there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So now back to this. So it's the focus on God. Look at this. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means it is to be distinct and special and unique. And we need to live for the name of Christ, not use it in vain. I mean, I help people all the time, not because I'm trying to get on them. If you profess Christ, you know what you got to get out of your mouth? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, I want to show up at some of your houses and say, you just won $1 million. If you don't say, oh my God, I'll give you 1,000. How many people that profess Christ, oh my God, oh my God. That's using the Lord's name in vain. His name is hallowed. His name is to be special. I'm not saying that you're going to hell because you say that. I'm just telling you this. If you're saved today, His name ought to be special. Y'all be upset if somebody used your mom's name in vain, your wife's name in vain, your daughter's name in vain, wouldn't you? Using your mom's name as a cuss word? Well, the Lord's name is that much higher. And so Just care. I just want you to care because the focus is on God. He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now that's amazing. We want God's will done the same as it's done in heaven. And his will is perfectly done in heaven. We want his perfect will. We want everything to go exactly as God wants. That's the purpose of prayer. To exalt his name, everything about his glory, everything about his will. That is so important for you. You can go to the Lord heavy-hearted with a lot of needs, but at the end of the day, it'll be very important to you. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's just not something that we're just signing off with. It's that we're asking. We want everything done for the name, for the glory, for the honor of Christ. And if it won't, say no. That's what we're asking. And so understand that when we pray, it's for his name, his glory, and his will. It's not just to get your answered needs. He cares for you. He cares for you. But we want his will done above all else. Friends of ours were kidnapped in South Africa. Some of you knew the story. I tell folks this. I'm only telling you. Don't worry. It's the first American that was kidnapped in the last 30 years. The risk for me, Althea, is not to be kidnapped. Shot is a lot higher likelihood, right? And so, but I'm not worried about it. Do you know why? I can trust the Lord. I want his will to be done. I've told him this. I said, Stephen Tillery can handle a bullet far better than me. So I want to, and I'll preach your martyrdom until I go to my grave. I don't want to be in a book. He died with dignity. No, how about he lived with dignity? But I want to tell you, we can trust the Lord. I've told you this a million times. Nothing will happen to me unless God allows it. Period. Take a deep breath and love your children. I can get anxious over my grandchildren because this world's a mess. What I need to do is I need to say, I have to leave it in God's hands. He cares. When you pray, everything's for his glory and his will. Then I want to tell you, when we pray, the focus is on God. It's about spiritual fellowship. I'm going to quickly show you two things. Forgiveness of sin and protection from sin. Look at verse 4. He said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now that's a true sign of a believer. The other most popular prayer is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This one says, forgive us our debts, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Oh, Christian, you ought to forgive people, period, because if you're a Christian, God forgave you, period, no strings attached. The Bible's kind of clear. If you're a person that can't forgive, you should really wonder, have I truly turned in faith to Christ? Now, it may just be a heart issue that we've hardened our heart and get it right with God. But if you are sitting there this morning and you're saying, you don't know, Steve, you don't know this person, I'll never forgive them, I would question your heart. You might say this, it's really hard to forgive them. You don't know what they did, and I may not know what they did. I may not have any clue and understanding of the perspective, but oh, Christian, you ought to say, oh God, I'm struggling, but I know this, that you want me to forgive them. You forgave me, and I'm far worse. And even if you think you're not far worse, you are. A true trait of a Christian is that we will forgive people. Why do I call it spiritual fellowship? And so, Dariani, we talked about this. Dariana, I know. See, there's Darielli, Dariana, and I combine them all the time, and so... Dariana, would you forgive me? And if I called you Dariana, what did I just call you? I don't even know. But Dariana. So Dariana and Jalee and I were having a Bible study this past week. And, I love to do this for newbies. I said, do you have to ask for forgiveness to go to heaven? Dariana said, yeah. I said, no. Do you need forgiveness of sins? Because remember this, if I said you have to ask forgiveness to be saved, all of a sudden you got to look at all these checklists and say, did I ask for forgiveness? Did I do this? Did I do this? Let me tell you this, what you must do, you must turn in faith to Christ and that's it. He will save you from your sins. You must know who he is and what he has done, and that's Your faith is in him and the work that he did that you couldn't do. It's not that you have to say these magic words, please forgive me. Oh, I know. When you want to be saved, you're broken over your sin. The Bible never encourages lost people to ask for forgiveness. But the Bible encourages everywhere for Christians to ask for forgiveness. And you ask, well, what about why would a Christian need to ask for forgiveness when all their sins have been forgiven? Well, because judicially, when you're saved, not guilty, you'll never be held accountable for those sins in a judgment perspective. But I tell people this, I know this will be a shocker. Deb and I have been married 37 years. We have had a few disagreements. See, guys. In the last day, no. And, you know, usually, all the men will relate to this. I am the one that's wrong. And did Deb and I cease to be husband and wife when I sinned against her? Did we? We didn't. Our relationship as husband and wife remained. But there was something that was broken. You know, I come over. Hey, baby, let me lay one on you, right? And so all the kids are like, what's he laying on her? It's a little smoochy, right? So just so you know, don't go anyway. And so does Deb want to kiss me? She wants to kiss me all the time, which is just amazing. Does Deb want to kiss me when I've been a jerk to her? No. No. And so, not just so she'll kiss me, but it's, I want to have just sweet fellowship with her. Do I not? I mean, you guys, I don't know about you, but this is terrible, right? We've had hallways that are about this wide, and maybe not. You know, so we're not getting along. I'm like, I don't want to put you in. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm like, you know, and I mean, it is, you know, you guys have told me about that. But we need to make it right. We didn't cease to be husband and wife, but the fellowship was broken. Same way with God. When you're truly saved, he becomes your father. And it's not, he loves me, he loves me not. Let me tell you this. When you truly believe, he commits and it's permanent. That's not an excuse to sin. If you think, then I'll go sin all I want, your want to changes when you're truly saved. I know the devil's still deceitful, and he can fool us, and we can do just evil. But if you're truly saved, it'll break you. You'll be crushed, and you're just going to be bothered by it. When we sin, it's our flesh that sins. It's really not us that sins. I'm not going to go into all that. When God saves me, I become a new man. This old man, this old flesh, this carcass is hurting today. It's 25,000 steps yesterday. I only do that to make me feel good why I couldn't move last night. And it's this, when Jesus saves, it's permanent, but this old flesh still wants to rebel, never wants to do anything right. I want you to know this, that when I sin in this flesh, I'm responsible for this flesh, my fellowship with the Lord is broken. Not my relationship as father-child, but my fellowship is. When you understand this, it's a heavy emphasis. It's about spiritual fellowship. You want your fellowship, that sweet communion with God, to be broken, then you don't confess your sins. You're not going to hell if you're truly saved. But that fellowship will be broken, and the Bible says, don't let a sun go down on your wrath. Make it right. And then we ask for protection of sin, because if you understand this, what will cause my fellowship with God to be broken? It's sin. And why does it matter after I'm saved if I sin? Because the Father matters. Because I love Him. Because I want to honor Him. Because I want to exalt Him. And if I sin, I destroy all that. You understand? It's a focus on God. When we ask Him to forgive our sins, it's because we want to be right with Him. If you're truly saved this morning, you want to be right with God. I trust. That's one reason we go to church. Is I need to have my fire relit. I need to be challenged again. I need to know Christ, and I want to do what's right. If you're a Christian, every Christian will go, that's right. I just want to do what's right. If you're sitting here this morning, you go, I don't care. Examine your heart. I'm not mad at you. Eternity is a big deal. Eternity is a big deal. You think God's going to grade on a curve? You think He's just going to let you in? He cannot. Even if He wanted to. Because He's just. Justice must be done. And the only way to have your sins removed. See, then our need is forgiveness of sins, is it not? It comes by faith in Christ. That's how you receive forgiveness of sins. Understand? Again, this is for believers. When we pray, oh Christian, it's for a focus on God. It's His name, His glory, His will, and spiritual fellowship. Second, dependence on God. I've got this verse here, tiny font. Can you see that in the back row there, Brother Lee? All right. Well, I thought you might need an eye exam, so this was the test. What's this letter? No, I'm just kidding. I'll make them bigger next time, because this is the smallest font I've ever done in a while. Still 54, just so you know. John 15, he says, abide in me. This is Jesus speaking. I want you to listen to this. Dependence on God. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. We must abide, live in Christ, in His ways, in just immersed. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, this is where I really want it, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If we are really walking with God and abiding in Him and immersing in Christ, it's He says He'll answer our prayers. But He says we can do nothing without Him. You've got to enjoy this. When you get to the point where you go, I can't do it, you're in the best place possible. I was discouraged earlier this week about the South Africa trip and just, God, is this really what you want me to do? And you know what I decided to do? I got tickets on Wednesday. I guess I'm going. I'm going to trust the Lord that we're going to South Africa, and I want to go to South Africa, but I want to be here as well. I wish I could be in two places at once. I love being here. And what I just decided to do, oh God, I'm going. We believe this was your will. I'm just going to trust in you. Make it good. You have no idea how. Make it good, God. Make it good. Make it good. Zach, when you were putting that fence up there yesterday, you know, the kind of drop-off was more. Did you pray? I didn't think so because, see, that one part's crooked there. No. Zach, you didn't pray about that fence? Not. Did you had you earlier? I made Zach lie. I don't mean to, but it's this. I have great confidence in you, but if you're in those situations, just say, oh God, I don't know how to make this look good. I don't know how to make this right. He cares about fences. It's on His property. And depend on Him. It's not all on your shoulders. Better be there Saturday doing everything, but no, it's not all on your shoulders. God wants us to depend on Him. You know why God allows trouble sometimes? So we remember, oh, that's right, I can't fix this. I need God. You know, He says, give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to depend on Him for your daily bread. We don't understand that in the United States of America. I have two refrigerators. It's just me and Deb. Me and Deb, and they're full. They're full. Now, Abby just moved back in, so that's not enough to have two refrigerators. But we do. That's the American way. And we need to depend on God. I want you to know this. People criticize God because life's hard. Well, life is hard. Depend on God. He wants Him to be the focus because that's the best place we could be, is to have our focus on God. And really, the reality is, we can do nothing without Him, whether you know that or not, whether you believe that or not. Every single person in this room, saved or lost, saved from the judgment of God or lost in your sins, you can't breathe without God. You can't. He is so kind that you're alive. Every single person in this room, we deserve the judgment of God. We have rebelled against Him. The only way to escape that is through Christ. But every single person, we should be in eternal damnation already, but for the work of Christ. Dependence on God. Prayer is about focus on God. Prayer is about dependence on God. Prayer is about trusting God. And I've got some thoughts here. One, for our daily needs. I've already mentioned that. So both dependence on God as daily needs, trust in God as for our daily needs, and trust that He truly cares. Here's what happens when God doesn't answer your prayer. Here's what happens when life is really rough. And let me tell you, I don't use the word fair, but there are people in this room, your life has been way harder. Don't blame God. Everybody's life isn't the same. I can't answer that. But if I take credit for it, I'm wrong. You understand that? I'm a fool. It's the mercy and grace of God. But everybody's life is not equal in this room. Don't blame God. That's what we do. When God doesn't answer our prayers, when God doesn't give me the life that I want, when certain circumstances happen, which are horrible. I've heard terrible stories. When you look at these little kids' eyes across the world, and you understand what they're going home to. Last time I was there, we were going to the airport, and I preached to 500 kids at elementary school. The principal invited us in, and he wept. He knows what these kids are going home to. Oh, they have their nice little uniforms on at school. They look together. And he wept, and he said, "Will you come every day?" These kids, he cares for them, but man, their life is rough. Their little minds get messed up. It's rough. God truly cares. I'm speaking to this audience this morning. Your lives have been rough, and I'm not saying it hasn't. I want you just to look at this. God gives us this example of the friend. "Hey, friend, it's midnight. I need some bread." And God says this, look at verse 9. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." I want you to know this. If you don't get it and you don't find it and He doesn't open it, it's because that's not best for you, right? When we ask the Lord for His will, and we ask and we seek and we ask it to be opened, if it doesn't open, then we must trust the Lord that Father knows best, that He cares for me. Verses saying, "You didn't do what I asked. You didn't open what I said. And you said, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You didn't open it." Well, because He knows best. Or maybe it's sin. See, sin, oh Christian, I'm talking to believers, sin can get in our way. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity, another word for sin, that direct rebellion, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh Christian, don't blame God. Don't blame God for not, you can take this verse and you can say, "Everything I ask for, He'll give me according to His will, and He knows best." If you're thinking right, oh Christian, don't you agree that God knows best? I want His will to be done. And I try to tell Him what is should be His will, don't I? Lord, right here. And when He doesn't, I've got to immediately remember, because my flesh will say, "See, God doesn't care for you. God didn't do what He said. God never lies." If you think this means in every single instance, I want to pink Cadillac. I asked for a pink Cadillac and I didn't get one. That's not God not fulfilling this. But God cares. God cares. He cares. Third, I want you to see this. He gives us calming peace. I've showed you this verse before. Prayer is about trusting in God. And when I was just struggling, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And there's going to be times when I'm in South Africa that I'm going to think, "Why am I here?" It's just my personality. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt these seniors. I don't want to walk in and make them think I think I'm better than them. I think I'm something. I don't know them. And I question everything about it. I question everything about it. But you know what I need to do? I do believe in a little physical technique. I need some more oxygen to the brain, so it'll help you not worry. It will. Just get some more oxygen. I only have 95% oxygen saturation, so whatever it is, maybe, you know, I need that other 5%. So I do. But then I'm going to go to the Lord, and I need Him to calm my spirit. You know why? They don't care how I feel, do they? I don't go, "How many of you care how I feel?" What are you asking us? They don't care, "Well, guys, had a bad night." No, I just need to trust in the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I have a lot to be thankful for. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember, everything's always rooted in Christ. Everything's always rooted. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you're eaten up with worry, then pray and just seek the Lord's face, and he'll give you peace. If you can't find peace, then maybe you don't know Christ. One thing he wants every believer to have is peace. Even when the bombs are bursting right outside your door, we can have peace in Christ. But we have to trust in God. Have to trust in God. Final thought I have, he records, he even keeps our prayers. I said he records it in one. Look at Revelation 5:8, and I'll finish with this. This is just so cool. Revelation 5:8, we read this every time we sing, He is Worthy. And when he, Jesus, had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Christ, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. What are those golden vials? These are bottles, golden vials, bottles full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Just so you know, saints are people that believe in Christ, not somebody that was a really awesome person that some church picks. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a saint, set apart unto righteousness. And it says that he has golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And so, real quick, why do you think he keeps our prayers in bottles? Why do you think he keeps our prayers in bottles? To remember, make him happy. Maybe. Here's what I believe. I think God's going to little effervescence. You know, when you open a, you thought all the prayers that you said didn't go anywhere? I got them right here. And I think, I'm making this up just so you know. This is what I think. We get in heaven, you're going to find out your prayers were for a purpose. And I think he's going to tell us, well, the reason why I didn't answer this prayer, because we've got all eternity. Isn't that cool? There's no rush. You won't be like, I think he's going over. I'm pretty sure he is. Does he know what I've got planned? Be none of that in eternity. I think he's going to open the bottles, Randall, and he's going to tell you. And when he says, this is why I said no, you're going to be like, brilliant. And I think some of those prayers that you didn't know he answered, maybe till after you die, you'll be like, oh, that's so amazing. And it'll all be to his honor and his glory. I think he has them in bottles. That's what the Bible says, right? Prayers of the saints. I want to tell you, he wants to hear from you. And he's collecting them in bottles, oh Christian. Don't you doubt your prayers. You trust in the Lord. We want everything for his name, his honor, and his glory, and for his will. But I'll tell you this, you have to have a cap on a bottle, right? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I think it'll be like, okay, Steve, you get to pick the bottle now. I get to pick the bottle. And they're not going to be named. It'll be like, oh! I want somebody to pick my bottle. But I'll love hearing the story of your bottle prayers. And your bottle prayers. Because it all comes down to this. He's way better than you think. You thought he didn't hear you. You thought he ignored you. And he said, one day, I'll open the bottle. And I'm going to show you I'm way better than you ever thought. You see, prayer is about God. He is the best father ever, right? The best father ever will do what's best for his children, right? So, I mean, you know, Elia's birthday is October 19th, right? She's 4. If Elia asked me for something, what do you think I'd say? You better believe it. Somebody said, how come you built a swing set after all your kids were raised? And I said, one name, her name is Elia. for that 1 week they come up to our house a year, I'll be like, Ilya, see these swing sets. You know why? I'm evil. But she calls me Papa. I love that little girl. And God loves me more. He loves me, not in some stupid, sappy way. He knows everything, and He knows best, and I can trust Him. It's about focus on God, trust in God, and it's focus on God, and so I've got them all here. Dependence on God and trust in God. First thing I want to ask, and then I'm done. Are you truly saved? Do you know the Lord? It's not difficult to be saved. It's that you've truly said, I want nothing more than Christ. You see, Jennifer's going to follow the Lord in baptism. That's not getting her to heaven. Jennifer, there is there's some choices in life to be made if you want to honor Christ, aren't there? And you so encourage me. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it?